and 1340 WMON, St. Albans, Charleston, Montgomery, The Jock. Fishing the waters of the wild and wonderful, the bluegrass and beyond. It's Hook, Line, and Sinker. Brought to you by Borders Sporting Goods. Let Borders help you get outdoors. Now, here's your host, Cam Connors.
Good Saturday morning, and welcome to another episode of Hook, Line, and Sinker. I'm your host, Cam Connors. Now, last weekend, we talked about the OWOA program over in Ohio. It's the Ohio Women's Outdoors Adventure Program. This weekend, we're moving south to the Bluegrass State, Kentucky, my hometown, home state, rather. Like West Virginia, it's a part of a much larger program, which is called BOW, or BOW, and it's Becoming an Outdoors Woman. It's very similar to the program that they have in Ohio, but with, I do believe, a lesser emphasis on boating. In Ohio, they made it very clear last weekend that they focus very heavily on boating. I believe in Kentucky and West Virginia, it's going to be a little less. So for our first guest segment today, I will be talking with Megan Bagby with the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife. She oversees the program, and we'll learn all about the events that they hold throughout the year in the Bluegrass. Also today, a little tackle talk. I read a very interesting article this week. Talked about crappie fishing with crankbaits. Now, if you've ever done a lot of crappie fishing, most folks will tell you that, soft baits or live minnows are going to be the way to go, or even just a bobber rig for some folks. But this article, it has some pretty good info, and it kind of reminded me of a time that that I myself had some very good luck with using a crankbait and catching crappie. It was kind of an accident, and we'll dive into that for today's Tackle Talk. Then, of course, guest segment two coming up a little later on. A new Outdoors Expo type event is going to be heading to the Charleston area. It's being planned for the late summer. It's the Wild and Wonderful Sportsman's Showcase, and it's set to kick off in late August. So I'll be talking with the event organizer, Josh Kyle, about what all we can expect for the event's inaugural year. And then finally, we'll wrap up the show today by going back up to Ohio and talking with Eric Clary and Tiffany Ream about the annual Kids Fishing Derby taking place very soon in Gallia County. And of course, before we jump into all that for the day, we got to take a look at the weekend's weather and water conditions for around the region. Looking at the Coal River right here at home in St. Albans, hit a high of 65 degrees this week. And while it has been warmer out throughout this week, I do expect the heavy rains from yesterday to cool it off just a little bit. Probably, if I had to guess, going to be between 62 and 64 degrees on the Coal today. Moving east to the Elk, where it runs into the canal in Charleston there, even warmer. It saw a high of 67 on Thursday and 66 yesterday. Moving to the west with our friends in Kentucky, the Little Sandy River over towards my stomping grounds. Looks like they've opened up the gates at the Grayson Dam yet again. The temps there were steady, 62, 63 degrees up until Tuesday when it dipped back down to about 57 or 58. Currently setting around 60 degrees on the Little Sandy. And for the Ohio, continuing its uptick this week, floating around 66 degrees there as well. As for the weekend, today and tomorrow's weather, looking to be decent, to be honest. Sunshine today with some clouds here and there, a high of 82, but windy. Looking at westward, southwest winds, 15 to 25 miles an hour today. Tonight, a few clouds expected to move in. Nothing major from the looks of it, though. Low tonight of 58 and a little breezy. Tomorrow, a little cooler with a high of 79, partly cloudy, and a little less windy with westward winds expected to be around 10 to 15 miles per hour. As we take a look around the region, some tournaments throughout the region this weekend and the week to come, happening right now, as a matter of fact, over at East Lynn. The Doodle Atkins Memorial Tournament weigh-in is coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon if you want to go check that out. Also going on right now, the Barlow Volunteer Fire Department Memorial Bass Tournament on the Ohio River. Weigh-in for that one at Belpre Boat Ramp. Going to be at 3 o'clock this afternoon as well. Tomorrow is going to be the 5th annual Children's Home Society of West Virginia's Hope, Line, and Sinker Tournament at Summersville. There's a $100 registration fee, two-man boats, and their boats in the water at 7 a.m. and, again, weigh in at 3 p.m. Take a look at Monday, the Ravenswood Monday Night Bass Fishing Tournaments. It's an open team tournament with a 6-fish, 12-inch limit, and they'll be launching at 4:30 p.m. for the complete list of tournaments for around the region. I highly recommend you go check out the DNR's website, wvdnr.gov. You can get a complete list of tournaments on there. Hey, don't forget, the show is now available on podcast. Each week's episode gets posted the following Monday at wjypam.com. You can listen to it there. We also link to our socials, and you can catch previous episodes anytime on the website, but also Pandora, Spotify, YouTube, and Amazon Music. So if you do listen via the podcast, be sure to hit that subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. When we come back, we'll talk the boat program with Kentucky Fish and Wildlife's Megan Bagby. It's Hook, Line, and Sinker on the Jock. Border Sporting Goods, family-owned and operated for over 40 years, has the Tri-State's largest fishing selection, as well as a great archery department, with bows, arrows, and more. From the kids that shoot for their school teams to what mom and dad will need for their next hunting adventure, Borders carries major brands like Hoyt, Matthews, Ten Point, and Raven. Come shoot your next bow at Border Sporting Goods, 5876 U.S. Route 60, Ashland, Kentucky, and online at bordersportinggoods.com.
Summer's here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive. Like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with our hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex, how did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom! I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, everything okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
Honey. Hey, I'm here for you. Tell me about school today.
When kids can't find the right words, music can help them sound it out. Talk to the kids in your life about their emotional well-being. Find tools and resources at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fish on. Now back to Hook, Line, and Sinker on the Jock.
Hook, Line, and Sinker today brought to you by Border Sporting Goods. Find them at US 60 in Ashland, Kentucky. They're your one-stop shop for all your hunting and fishing needs. And, of course, they're your home for Liberty Safes as well. Let Borders help you get outdoors. You can find them online at BordersSportingGoods.com. This week, we are continuing our talk about getting the ladies into the great outdoors. Last weekend, we talked about the OWOA program in Ohio, the Ohio Women's Outdoors Adventure. This week, the Bluegrass State has a similar program. Theirs and West Virginia's, actually, both called the BOW program, Becoming an Outdoors Woman. And joining me to talk about the program is Megan Bagby. She's an administrative supervisor with Kentucky Fish and Wildlife. Megan, thanks for taking the time to join me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's jump right in. What is the BOW program in Kentucky?
The BOAT program is actually it's an international program, and it's sponsored in part by the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife and other partners, including the Fish and Wildlife Foundation. BOAT is primarily for adult age women interested in building confidence and outdoor skills relevant in hunting and fishing. Started about 1995 here in the state of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an international program. It's all over. Most of the states in the United States have one,
mm-hmm.
have a BOAT program, including Canada and other regions as well.
What was the motivation behind launching this program? You said it is international, and most states have it in place now. So what was the motivation, I guess, in general behind getting it and in the state of Kentucky behind getting behind it?
Currently, the reason for the program would be building the interest and building confidence in the outdoor skills for women in the state of Kentucky.
Absolutely. Getting ladies outdoor and involved in these activities that sometimes can be viewed as predominantly men, right?
Correct.
So you mentioned that it's because my show is mostly about fishing, but you mentioned that it's all outdoors programs. So it's hunting, fishing. Would this also include like hiking, camping? What activities are covered?
So we usually have maybe a total of three. So, but the main weekend that we have for the BOAT weekend is usually held in we're going to have it in August this year. Typically held in August, September, October, around the fall, late summer, early fall, and you would cover fishing, hunting, and then you would have an other category. That other category could, just as you said, hiking, foraging, maybe even outdoor cooking, mm-hmm. something associated with outdoors, but not necessarily does it fit the hunting and fishing aspect. There is a criteria for the BOAT program, and these numbers don't add up, but it's 33. So 33% of the classes need to be fishing related. 33% of the classes need to be hunting related. And then 33% of the classes can be other related.
It's a general
guideline.
That's
only 99%, but close enough, right?
Right. It's a general guideline on the we'll say the three pillars of it on and they try to make it even across the board.
Correct.
So are these programs, is this for beginners? Are there events in the BOAT program for women who may be more experienced? What's the skill range looking like?
So with we have a very high interest in our program, high enough to where we do have people come multiple times. So it is for advanced skill as well. Maybe people come in multiple times. But we try to gear it towards beginners. And to gear it towards beginners, we would, for the first day of registration, we gear it towards people that have never been to the event before. And that's to get people more involved in the outdoors and maybe more of a beginner level courses, may I say. But then also, too, we'll get to a certain criteria, or usually we'll have 75% newcomers, and about 25% multiple times. And that has been pretty much the case for the past 3 or 4 years. I'd say 75% new, 25% returning.
Okay.
And the returning would be maybe people that are either taking different classes or they are going a little bit further in their skill set. Example would be this year in August. I want to say fall bow, but we're having it in August this year, so it's still summer. So it's kind of habit to say fall bow, but
well, yeah, look at it this way: it's getting in preparation for the fall bow. They get proficient with it,
and then preparation for the fall bow.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're having like an advanced archery class, that mm-hmm. will go a little bit more in depth for those people that maybe are returning, or maybe those people that are new to the bow program, but they're new to fishing, but maybe they have shot archery before. So that would be an example of maybe gearing towards other levels as well.
Okay. And of course, there are more than one event. So how many events were there?
We strive for 3 a year.
Okay.
And sometimes there are more.
And you scatter these out across the state. Is there going to be one, on the eastern side, one out towards, say, Paducah? Where are they going to be located?
Yes. The fall events is all we have in the state of Kentucky. We have conservation camps for kids for ages 4th through 6th grade, and we use those camp facilities to have the fall events. The three locations is Western Kentucky, Central Kentucky, and Eastern Kentucky. and we rotate that event each year to the different camp every year. So this year we're out in Western Kentucky at a camp called Camp Curry. And then the other two events, we have a Annie Oakley Day that's happening in this, in Louisville, Kentucky, which is more, I guess you could say it's more central Kentucky, but in a bigger city. And then we will have another event after our fall events, which we're trying to schedule currently right now. And then we've had kayak adventures, we've had hiking adventures, but yes, they're spread throughout the state of Kentucky, and we try to hit each region as much as we possibly can.
Okay.
And not have it in one certain location.
And these events, do they have a registration fee or anything associated with them?
So the fall weekend, there is a registration fee. It was $150 last year. We're looking to try to stay about the same this year, but there might be a little bit of an increase this year. The Annie Oakley Day, that's in the city of Louisville, that is a free event. There would be no charge. And then most of the hiking adventures are free because there isn't any kind of monetary value incurred in it. We'll just pick a location. And then if we do go kayaking, if we happen to use another company or something, there would be a fee, but we're looking to do more of, we try to keep it as low as possible, may I say. Registration is online. It's on our website, fw.ky.gov, and it's under the Becoming an Outdoors Woman. If you go to the search bar on that website and type in Becoming an Outdoors Woman, you'll see our future events upcoming.
Awesome. So I guess a question that I have to ask, because my show is based out of West Virginia, and while I do focus on fishing and the outdoors around Appalachia, the show is primarily our audience here in Charleston, West Virginia. So can out-of-state folks participate in the bow program in Kentucky?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. That is fantastic to hear. So let's jump back, and I got to ask, how long have you been involved with the program, and what kind of success or growth have you seen in it since your time involved with it?
I've been involved with the program for 11 years now. I started as just an assistant to the coordinator, and I helped with the program for 9 years before, and then last year I was acting coordinator, and then this year I'm officially the coordinator of the program. The growth I've seen in this program is amazing. When I first started, it was a very popular event, and the popularity has only increased. It's been, I mean, it's just been amazing to watch it grow. An example of, too, because when you have an event that you can only have so many people come, perfect example would be the past 3 or 4 years, our events, our fall event closes within an hour.
Oh, wow.
Of sign-up.
Wow. That's, so, that is quick.
It's quick. It's a very quick process. The past 2 years, it was an hour. And then 3 years before this, I think it only took like a half day. So the popularity is very, very apparent, may I say.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the results there speak for itself. Because it's growing so much like that, I wonder, is Fish and Wildlife looking at expanding the program, maybe introducing more than three events, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 events throughout the year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's been thoughts on, you know, smaller events. We spoke before about striving for 3 events, but there is thought of having more, maybe smaller events throughout the year. The big fall weekend is very, it's been thought of to have maybe one in the spring. There's been thought of that in the spring.
Yep.
But of course, you know, everybody knows the spring weather is always a factor.
Right. The rain tends to play a major role in the spring months.
Yeah. The spring, you know, the weather, and then also there's spring turkey season that starts in the spring. Weather is a factor. There's other events that go on in the spring around the state of Kentucky. We just had a pretty major horse race here. So,
of course. I have an idea. I have an idea, yeah. And I'm giving you permission to use it. a bow women's bass tournament. There you go.
All right. Yes, absolutely.
And I say you host I say you host it at Greenbow Lake because that's the one closest to where I live.
the one.
I know some ladies that would be interested. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. But yeah, there's been, you know, thoughts on just, yeah, having smaller programs throughout the state. We're definitely working on that currently because, yes, this fall event has just, it just shows the popularity in it and just shows the need to have more, I guess, more resources isn't the word to use, activities.
I would say resources and opportunities, you know.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned back at the start of the interview, you know, hunting, fishing, camping, and, you know, traditionally, I guess these are viewed as more of a man's thing. And, you know, in today's world, that's not the case anymore. You know, there are tons and tons of women who love to get outdoors. I mean, my wife is one of them. She absolutely loves to go hiking and camping. She's not so much on fishing. That's more mine. But she loves to get outdoors and do all this stuff. And I think it's just awesome that there are programs in place like this that are encouraging and educating women to get out and do this stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, before we wrap it up, is there anything that we may not have touched on that you'd like folks to know about with the bow program?
The main thing that I would say about this program is that it's an amazing opportunity for women to come and learn about hunting and fishing and wildlife-related adventures. It's in a very way of like-minded people.
It's a great opportunity to meet people that are going to be like yourself, I guess. If you're interested in all this stuff, it's a good chance to socialize and meet people that are interested in it as well.
Correct. If you're just, you know, it's a great, you know, the bow workshops are, if you have never tried these activities and you're hoping for an opportunity to learn, you know, you're a beginner who's hoped to improve your skills. You know how to do some of these activities, but you would like to try some new ones. So that's why the hunting, fishing, and the other aspect of it. Or, you know, if you're just looking for the camaraderie of like-minded individuals.
Yep.
And you just want to come and enjoy something that you want to do that maybe your other friends or acquaintances don't necessarily like to do.
Well, and one of the things that I think is really cool, you touched on it there a little bit, is let's say that there's somebody who is interested in this stuff but doesn't have a means to get out and do it, doesn't have anybody to go do it with, or doesn't have the confidence to do it on their own. This is a chance for them to do it, number one, safely, but number two, to do it in a judgment-free area, somewhere that they're not going to feel self-conscious about not knowing how to do this stuff.
Exactly. That is the perfect explanation.
Awesome. Well, Megan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Still to come, some tackle talk. I read an article this week that takes a different approach to crappie fishing. I want to chat about that. Plus, we'll talk with one of the organizers about an upcoming outdoors showcase headed to the Charleston area later this summer. We'll be right back with Hook, Line, and Sinker on the Jock. Border Sporting Goods is your one-stop outdoor sporting goods store. Family-owned and operated for over 40 years, Borders is the Tri-State's number one outlet for Liberty Safes. Proudly made in the USA with a lifetime warranty, a Liberty Safe will protect what's most important to you from theft or fire. Online at BorderSportingGoods.com or find them on Facebook and Instagram at Border Sporting Goods. Border Sporting Goods, 5876 U.S. Route 60, Ashland, Kentucky. Tired of feeling overlooked at the big box stores? When you need quality hardware and expert guidance, visit Pyle Hardware on West Washington Street in Charleston. For over 90 years, they've been your trusted local source for paint, plumbing, electrical supplies, and tools. Proudly serving the community as a family-run business for four generations. Whether you're a DIY enthusiast or a seasoned pro, their friendly and knowledgeable staff is ready to help you find exactly what you need. Pyle Hardware. Where else?
Your kids deserve the best, and at WVU Medicine Thomas Hospitals, the best care for your family is closer than you think. Through our partnership with WVU Medicine Children's Hospital, we provide access to the state's most experienced group of pediatric providers right here in southern West Virginia. Whether your child needs medical care for a sudden illness or routine preventative care, visit Thomas Hospitals.
The power of pediatric care. When I grow up, I want to be a doctor.
I want to be a veterinarian.
When I grow up, I want to be a fireman.
I want to be a scientist so I can connect, like, other things and build other things.
I want to be an astronaut so I can float up space.
When I grow up, I want to be a dancer.
I want to be a superhero, but if that doesn't work out, I will be an engineer.
When I grow up, I want to be a chef because I like ice cream.
I want to be a basketball player.
I want to be a jet pilot so I can take people to really fun places.
I want to be a drug addict.
Get to your kids before drugs do. Arm yourself with the facts. Get your free The Truth About Drugs booklet set today. Go to drugfreeworld.org. What percentage of people who take drugs end up becoming addicted, lose control of one's life, and die of an overdose? No one can say for sure. But is taking drugs worth the risk? Arm yourself with the facts. Get your free The Truth About Drugs booklet set today. Go to drugfreeworld.org.
Fishtails, we've got them. Now back to Hook, Line, and Sinker on the Jock.
It's time for a little tackle talk. While browsing the internet this week, I stumbled onto an article from Realtree titled How to Crappie Fish with Crankbaits. And for some reason, I just felt the need to read it. It grabbed my curiosity. Now, most folks you know will tell you live minnow are the way to go for crappie, or soft plastic lures as well, or even, you know, small jig setups. But one of the first things that the article says is that a lot of competitive anglers and guides have really started to urge folks to use crankbaits. Now, the article mostly quotes a Western Kentucky guide, a guy by the name of Doug Wynn. Quotes him quite a bit, and apparently this is his go-to method nowadays. He trolls with multiple rods out and a crankbait, a different crankbait on either one until he finds what is what's hot. Now, I will say in the article, he does point out also you need an in-depth understanding of the body of water that you're going to be on in order to get your best results with crankbaits whenever you're targeting crappie. He says that he targets the fish by knowing where the drops and the cover points are. So, but what really surprised me in the article, supposedly this guy is often using lures that are like 5 inches long. That just seems a bit excessive. I mean, awful aggressive, if you ask me, for crappie. But, you know, hey, this guy's the expert. So he goes on to insist that big lures can attract big crappie. He also almost exclusively uses red hooks, with, I guess, the idea being that the red makes the lure look similar to a wounded fish. And reading this, I got to say, the whole thing, it reminded me of a time that I myself had pretty good luck, by accident, really, with crappie on a crankbait. Now, thinking back, this is probably 10 or 12 years ago now. My best friend and I had bought a couple kayaks one summer, and we spent the whole summer hitting up nearly any lake that we could. And for this particular story, we were on a small lake in Lawrence County, Ohio. It's up off of Greasy Ridge, if you know where that is, called Timber Ridge. It's a small 100-acre lake, and we had absolutely, at this point, become obsessed with these Rapala shallow shad crankbaits. Now, if you've never seen one, I'm going to talk about it here in a little bit, but we'd had amazing luck with these. I mean, one day we just decided to buy one and had done fantastic. So we went and bought like 5 more of them each. And we're just throwing these things all day out here at Timber Ridge. And they're honestly, they're really good for bass, which is what we had actually been targeting that day. Diving into the shallow shad a little, it's the shallow shad wrap, and the ones we had got were just the 2-inch lures. I mean, there were nothing huge. I think they run about 4 to 6 foot deep. And if you've never seen the shallow runner Rapala crankbaits, most of them have this very distinct bill. It dips down, like straight down, before coming a short way from the front of the lure. It's a very short, distinct bill. You'll know it the second you see it on the shelf. But anyways, we're back in the coves. We're not too far from the boat dock, and we're just casting. We're just doing some slow retrieves, you know, just casting out and just doing slow. And next thing you know, I've got something on the line, but it didn't feel like a bass. I mean, you know when you've got a bass on the line. It just wasn't that aggressive. It was just a little tug or even a bump. I mean, at first, I wasn't even sure that I had anything on the line because it felt like I had bumped a log or something. But then it pulled back against me, reeling, and that's when I knew there was a fish on. So, of course, you know, I pull it in, and sure enough, it's a crappie. And looking back at it now, we must have hit a school or something because next thing you know, we're pulling one in every third or fourth cast before the bite had died off. And remembering this, it reminds me, thinking back now, I haven't been to that lake in probably 10 years now, so I may just have to make a trip up there soon. But yeah, crappie on crankbaits, I gotta say, I believe it, for sure. Oh, and that shallow shad wrap, I looked it up, Rapala, still make them. You can get them in a 2-inch, a 2 3/4, or a 3.5-inch. They're going online for about $10 each. And honestly, this is still probably one of my favorite lures of all time, which actually, there's a thought. Maybe next week I'll dive into some of my favorite lures of all time. We'll have to see about that. Moving on with today's show, let's talk to our next guest. On the show now, welcoming in Josh Kyle, and he's one of the folks involved with organizing for the upcoming Wild and Wonderful Sportsman's Showcase. It's coming up this August, I believe, down in Marmette. Josh, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, Cam?
I'm doing fantastic, and I want to say thank you for taking the time to join me today. I believe we had talked over email once, and you work evenings, so you're normally trying to sleep in the morning. Is that it?
Midnight shift currently.
Okay, yeah. Well, thanks for taking the time. Let's dive right in with the showcase, man. Who's putting it on, and let's talk about it.
Well, it's going to be me, Josh Kyle, and I run a promotions company called Total Savage Promotions here in the Charleston area. Till now, we've done concerts and pro wrestling events, things like that, and we've decided to branch out and do something here for the outdoorsmen and outdoor women in the area.
That sounds fantastic, and one of the things that we had talked about in planning for this. Now, there's no political party, there's no special interest tied to this. There's no, you know, right-leaning, left-leaning. This is for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't matter what walk of life you come from, we're happy to have you there and have you involved with the outdoors here in West Virginia.
Absolutely. So let's dive into it. When and where is the showcase going to be?
Well, this is going to take place on the weekend of August the 23rd and the 24th. And it will be taking place at the Marmette Rec Center.
And as far as admission, is this going to be free admission, or will folks have to buy tickets, buy them online? What's the situation there?
Okay, it's going to be $7 to get into the door as an adult. If you are 14 or under and you do have a paid adult with you, you do get in for free. Also, it will just be $5 as well for law enforcement officers and first responders.
So what can we expect at the showcase?
We're going to have several vendors for hunting, you know, have guns, possibly some bow archery out there. We're looking to have some fishing, have some tackle, things like that. We're in talks with a man that wants to come in and set up some gun safes that you can look at and possibly purchase. And of course, we're looking to have some ATV companies come in and some fishing boat companies come in and set some things up for you to check out. Those vendor booths, they are still available right now if anyone is interested in getting one.
And if they're interested in becoming a vendor, how are they going to do that? And what kind of booth size are they going to get?
Okay, well, we have 6-foot tables available, and those are $50 a piece for the table. And also, if you are a commercial seller and you need a commercial booth space, we will set aside 10 foot by 10 foot, and that'll be $350 for that. We'll also have a 10 foot by 20 foot space you can get for $400. And all those commercial booths, we do give you one table and one chair with your space.
When it comes to number of vendors, how many are you putting a limit on how many you can have? Or what are we looking at on a number?
It's looking like the limit is going to be about 50 of the 6-foot tables, and that's going to be kind of cramped in. So we're looking at probably enough room for about six of the commercial booth spaces, and then about another 30 of the vendor tables. Mm-hmm. So those are limited. So if anyone is interested, it'd be best that they do reach out to WVSportsmans.com, and they can get all the information there.
Right. And if you're a vendor that's going to need one of the 10-foot by 10-foots or the 10-foot by 20s, one of the bigger spaces, obviously you're going to want to reach out sooner so that the space doesn't get taken up by, say, the smaller 10, the 6-foot tables.
Yes, absolutely. This is a first-come, first-served basis. Whatever we rent out first, that's what we're going with. And there's no reserving unless your deposit's already been paid in.
Okay. And, of course, if folks want to be involved but not necessarily be a vendor there, they can become partners or sponsors with the event as well.
Yes, absolutely. We will be giving out programs. We'll be leaving those at several different gas stations in the area and other locations. We'll be putting up flyers, posters, web advertisements, Facebook, YouTube, things like that. Those major sponsorship spaces, they will have their logo and information on all of that. We are also selling some sponsor space in the programs that are on a smaller level as well, if they don't want to buy that main sponsorship.
And again, they would reach out to you guys to get that taken care of if they're interested in doing that.
Yes, absolutely, at WVSportsmans.com, Sportsmans with an S at the end.
All right. And so one of the questions I wanted to ask, looking at the vendors, you talked about, a lot of maybe some firearms, some archery, some fishing, boats. Are you allowed to say any vendors that you might have tacked on already?
As of right now, I'd like to kind of just keep that discretionary until
okay.
We have the complete list.
I got you. That makes perfect sense. Put them all out at once, not to give anybody any more promotion than any one other person. Try and keep it fair. I agree. I could see that.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the things that you see at a lot of these type of events sometimes is they'll schedule in like some seminars or some demonstrations. Is that something that you're looking at maybe setting up as well, or are we just trying to keep it simple because this is the first time, right?
Yeah, this is the first one we've had. If we can find someone that is interested in doing that, they are more than welcome to reach out. But as of right now, I haven't contacted anybody. But, I mean, that could be anyone from if someone wanted to come in and do a concealed carry demonstration, or if someone, say, from the Scouts of America wanted to come in and give a seminar about joining the Scouts or getting a troop going or something like that in the area, I'd be more than happy to have something like that come in as well.
See, I think
just about anything that would involve outdoorsmanship, we would love to have it there.
See, I think that stuff would be a draw. I think you should try and look into that. Just my personal, because like tying flies. A lot of people are interested in that. Maybe don't know where to start. You could talk to somebody with one of the outfitters and do a beginner's fly tying lesson. And have 30 seats available or something.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to do something like that. I do plan on reaching out to them within the next week or two, a few different people that may be available for that. So,
is there anything that you want to get out about the event that we maybe haven't had a chance to cover yet before we wrap things up today?
Not too much. I think we've got it all covered. Just I am excited to get all of these great outdoorsmen here into the area and all under one roof, all for one great cause of, celebrating that great outdoors here in West Virginia.
Absolutely. I say it all the time. We've got some of the best natural resources in the nation. I've got family down in Arkansas, down in Texas, down in Georgia, and folks that they come and visit some from time to time, and they're always just blown away by the landscape here and the resources we have, because it's pretty unique. I mean, anybody who's driven out around Missouri or down through Texas, you really get to notice just how different and unique that our area is.
Oh, absolutely. I've been all over the country. I've met lots of people, and there is nowhere I would rather be than right here at home. I will say that.
I agree. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to join me today. Of course, the Wild and Wonderful Sportsman's Showcase that's coming up in August, the 23rd and 24th in Marmette. That's right.
That's correct.
A big thanks again to Josh for joining the show today. Coming up, a listener letter plus our final guests of the day to talk about an upcoming kids fishing derby. It's coming up next with Hook, Line, and Sinker on The Jock. Border Sporting Goods, family owned and operated for over 40 years, is the one-stop shop for all your fishing needs. Borders has the largest selection in the tri-state from all the major brands like Shimano, G. Loomis, Abu Garcia, Blue Rock Custom Tackle, Rapala, NetBait, Strike King, and more. Let the experts at Borders help you find the perfect fishing gear for your next adventure. Border Sporting Goods, 5876 U.S. Route 60, Ashland, Kentucky, and online at BordersSportingGoods.com.
From the local 2U studio, connecting West Virginia, this is the Valley Sports Station, 105.5 and 98.3 FM, 1300 and 1340 AM, The Jock.
What? All the budget has to be used now? And we can use all the media buy?
Javier's marketing firm just got its dream funding.
Okay, ideas. Bobbleheads. No. T-shirt cannon. I seriously need some help here.
He needs to find marketing managers who are worth every dollar.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Sponsoring a job on Indeed gives it a visibility boost so you can hire faster. Redeem your $75 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
In the tapestry of life, we encounter stories of legacy and accomplishment, but sometimes also abuse, neglect, or financial exploitation. Adult Protective Services understands the importance of safeguarding the well-being of our loved ones, our neighbors, and our community. To report neglect or abuse, call 800-352-6513. Sponsored by the Administration for Community Living, West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources, Bureau for Social Services, the West Virginia Broadcasters Association, and this station. This project was supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $383,493, with 75% funded by ACL-HHS, and 25% in the amount of $85,236 funded by state government sources. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone in your community or just taking a deep, calming breath when you need it. Nice. For mental health resources, check out loveyourmindtoday.org. At loveyourmindtoday.org, you'll find information that may help you get through a tough time. Things like tips for dealing with stress, how to navigate difficulties like financial worries, anger, substance use, and more. You can also find real stories of how people navigated their own mental health challenges. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Reels are streaming. Lines are tight. We're back for Hook, Line, and Sinker on The Jock.
Today's show is brought to you by Border Sporting Goods. Find them at US 60 in Ashland, Kentucky. They are your one-stop shop for all your hunting and fishing needs. Borders can help you get outdoors. Find them online, BordersSportingGoods.com. I'm your host, Cam Connors, and before we get to our final guests of the day, I got an email this week through the webpage that I wanted to share with you. So here it is. Dear Cam, I recently discovered your show after you interviewed a good friend of mine. First off, thank you for talking with him and spotlighting his business. Second, I was thinking the other day about all the places I want to go fishing before I kick the bucket. I've never been deep sea fishing, and I definitely want to do that before I go. What's on your fishing bucket list? Brian J. Well, Brian, I honestly have a couple. I, too, would like to go deep sea fishing, or even pier or beach fishing, for that matter. I've never fished in the ocean, so that's one that would definitely be on my bucket list for sure. I would also like to go up into Canada and do some of those. They've got those really remote fishing trips, you know, the ones where you fly in on like a pond hopper plane and you go into a little resort on a remote lake, that kind of thing I would love to do. But really, I think for me it would be more about the fish than the location. You know, there are a lot of species I've never caught. I would love to get a sturgeon. I've never even been close to catching a sturgeon, and I think that would be a catch of a lifetime. If I ever get the chance to go deep sea fishing, you know, I would love to catch mahi, stuff like that. So thanks for the letter. And if you have any questions or maybe you just want to show off your catch, you can email the show. Head on over to the Hook, Line, and Sinker page at WJYPAM.com. You can drop me a line there using the contact form set up right below the podcast player. As we round out today's show, we've got a kids fishing derby, an annual fishing derby on the way. We're going to talk about on the phone now with me, Eric Clary with the Galea County Conservation Club and Tiffany Ream with the Galea Soil and Water Conservation District, the two teaming up, the two entities teaming up for this fishing derby. How you doing, guys?
Doing well, thanks.
Very good.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk today. I'd reached out a little while back about talking about the derby, and while my show is centered in the Charleston area, we do focus on events and fishing in the community at large, so all around Appalachia. You know, we focus on more than just right here in Charleston. We want to talk about Kentucky. We want to talk about Ohio. We want to talk about southern West Virginia as well. So you guys up in Galea County, you have an annual fishing derby coming up here in just a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, you are correct. It is on May 31st.
And this is the annual fishing event, so you all do this every year?
Yes, sir. We started in, I think, 2019. We started to have it at our current location.
And where is that?
It is at the Galea County Fairgrounds. It's right off of 35. It's easy to get to. It's on Jackson Pike. It's on the backside of the old campgrounds there.
Okay, so is there a pond there facility, or do you set up like a mobile pond? What's the facility like?
So there is a pond back there. It's about an acre and a quarter. And we have a picnic table set up back there under a carport. We'll have tents set up. You can get around most of the pond, so it's pretty good size.
Okay. Is the event going to be free for kids to participate, or is there going to be an entry registration fee?
There is no fee to register. We do have a pre-registration if they would like to go to our Facebook page, the Galea County Soil and Water Conservation District. It's pinned there at the top, and they can pre-register, and they can skip the line and get fishing as soon as they get there, and but no cost, free for everybody.
That's great. And with an event like this, do you all have a limit on the number of people who can participate, or is it just open to any and everyone?
So the only catch is it's a youth fishing derby, so we ask the youth to be 15 and under. We have three age categories.
Okay, and what are they?
7 and under, an 8 to 11, and then 12 to 15.
What kind of, what's the judging going to be? Is it going to be fish based on size, different species? You know, let's dive into the specifics on the derby.
We've changed it around a few different ways, but the best way we've found is just number of fish. We've had, in years past, we've had one young lady, it's probably about a 10-year-old. She got well over 80 fish.
Oh my gosh.
So it was, it was definitely, definitely good to change it to a number of fish.
Good Lord, 80. That's hard to imagine in such a short time. That pond must be stocked to the brim.
Well, we do have quite a few bluegill in there. That's the majority that don't catch, but they are all decent size. But there are also some catfish and largemouth bass and things like that in there.
Okay. So with this event, should folks bring their own tackle and bait, or you're going to have some available? Is it limited? What's the situation around tackle?
So the tackle, we encourage you to bring your own as well as your fishing pole. If things happen, which they always do, we have a couple that catch a couple turtles. If you need replacement parts, we do have a few pieces that we can lend to some fishermen or anglers there and get you fixed up. But majority, we'd like you to bring your own fishing pole and your own tackle. As far as bait, that is completely up to each participant. We will have some live bait there. Thanks to the Outdoorsman's Cave, they're going to be sponsoring some live bait for us.
Okay, and is there any kind of rules on live bait? I mean, if obviously night crawlers is going to be the primary, but if someone wants to use crickets or mealworms or minnows, anything like that?
No restrictions on that. Whatever they want to use, as long as it's nothing that'll harm the fish that are in there, we're good with it.
Right. Okay. You said that the judging is mostly going to be on quantity. So what are the prizes we're looking at?
Well, it changes up every year. I mean, we have, like Miss Tiffany said, we have three different categories. We have awards for the top three in each age group. But they've ranged anywhere from, new fishing poles to different tackle.
Fillet knives, scales, all kinds of things.
It sounds like quite the prize, especially, I'm getting sidetracked, but I really love events like this that get kids out into fishing. I have an 8-year-old son who would rather be on his Nintendo Switch. So any opportunity I get to get him outside and do stuff like this, I'm a really big fan of. So where he is video game oriented and he's got this mentality of want to win, I think that's where derbies and competitions like this are really great, because it gives him a goal, something to go after. I think that's really great for, I think, kids, young kids in general. It helps with that motivation.
Absolutely. And to add on to your young kids, if we have a lot of first-time fishermen come in, or boys and girls, come in, and we give them a certificate that says they caught their first fish at our youth fishing derby. So they really like that.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's awesome. I like that. And of course, I assume there's going to be folks, because you said that you have a lot of first time folks that show up. So do you all have people for helping, maybe inexperienced people there? How's that going to work?
So in the past, we've had quite a few fishermen there. Last year, we had two of our local game wardens come. I believe they will be joining us again this year, so they'll be helping us. But there will be people all around willing to help.
Exactly, and that's one of the things that I really love about the fishing community in general is, no matter where you go, it seems like when you're on the lake, if you're having a problem and another fisherman sees that you're having a problem, they're almost always willing to lend you a hand, give you some hooks, give you, whatever it is you may not have. If you break an eyelet, a lot of times somebody will have a repair kit with them and can help you fix it. And so stuff like that, I think, is really fantastic. And you see it at events like this. You guys said that 2019 was whenever you first began doing this. How have you seen it? What's the turnout like, and how has it grown over the last few years?
Well, in years past, well before this, our derby started, the local bass club, they used to do it out at the Bob Evans Farm Fawn. And I can't remember the exact, I think it was 2017, might have been the last year that they did that. Around about that time, we started to kind of overhaul the pond back here at the fairgrounds. Cleaning and adding the carport. There's a dock back there now we built. And of course, stocking it. So 2019, I can't really remember the numbers. We probably started out with about 80. And then past few years, it's grown to about 150 or so with parents and everybody.
Yeah, close to 170, I think, last year.
Wow, that's a really good turnout. So is this for Ohio residents only, or if folks, you know, down in Point Pleasant or on the West Virginia side, or even somebody from Kentucky wanted to come, could they participate?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, anybody wants to come. It's a, like I said, it's in Palm Air at the Gay County Fairgrounds, so they come in at 15 and under. We're not going to worry about no licensing or anything like that. And, of course, it is a catch and release. We don't worry about that stuff.
So is there anything that we haven't touched on yet that you guys would like to make sure that everyone is aware of regarding the event?
We like Eric has said, we've worked really hard to clean up this area. So we ask that if you pack something in, to please pack it out, not to throw your bait cups in our pond. That would be excellent. I know we have a lot of parents ask about a pole limit. And Eric, I don't know if you want to touch on that a little bit.
I would think no more than two.
We just ask the kids pull the fish out.
Yeah, yeah. Parents can help. They can help. But, you know, we ask them not to actually do the fishing for them.
Right.
So.
Well, it is an event for the kids. And I'm actually glad you mentioned that. See, I grew up in Southern Ohio. I used to fish Tycoon and Timber Ridge and Vesuvius all the time. And so whenever I was growing up, I don't know if it's changed, but the state of Ohio had a two-pole limit. I'm glad you brought that up. One thing that I also had seen on your all's flyer that I'd forgot to mention, you're providing lunch that day as well.
Yeah, our local 4-H club, the Gay Shooting Aces, they'll be cooking and providing lunch for everybody. I think hot dogs, chips, drinks, stuff like that. So they usually eat around 11:30, somewhere in there.
And that is free.
Absolutely. Yep. It's free of charge.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a very fun event. If at all possible, I might try to get my crew out and head over there for the day. But I appreciate you all taking the time to talk today. And if folks want to get more information, where's going to be the best place to do that?
You can visit either one of our Facebook pages, the Gay County Conservation Club or the Gay County Soil and Water Conservation District. It has all the flyers and dates on there. Again, it's Saturday, May 31st from 10 a.m. to noon. And like Eric says, we'll eat around 11:30. We'll call it around noon and we'll tally up the scores and we'll give prizes right after that. So it should be a good day.
Sounds like it's going to be a very fun day indeed. Again, thank you all so much for taking the time to talk today.
No problem. And we'd like to add, if we have time here.
Of course.
Not only do we have our fishing derby, there's another fishing event coming up with the Shriners Club here in Gay County. They're having one on June 14th. So it's kind of hitting Father's Day there.
Oh, yeah.
Fathers want to take their kids out fishing.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a great one. I might have to reach out and talk to them as well. But, again, thank you so much, and look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That's going to wrap it up for today's show. A big thanks once again to all of today's guests for joining us. And don't forget, podcasting now. You can catch us on all your favorite platforms, YouTube, Pandora, Spotify, Amazon Music, and, of course, on the webpage as well. Be sure to follow The Jock on Facebook and check out our free mobile app. Thanks for listening, and until next weekend, I'll catch you later.
Miss part of today's show? Listen again and catch past shows on the podcast at WJYPAM.com and on The Jock mobile app. This has been Hook, Line, and Sinker with Cam Connors, brought to you by Borders Sporting Goods on The Jock.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer, maybe yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated and it can last a lifetime. Living with a condition can sometimes be a challenge. It may take years to accept a formal diagnosis, and it's not always easy to find the right treatment plan. Did you know that up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental health condition that also requires a comprehensive approach to treatment? ADHD guidelines were recently updated to reflect the need to screen for associated disorders. Be sure to talk with your child's doctor about proper screening and visit moretoadhd.com for additional information. That's moretoadhd.com. This message has been brought to you in partnership with ADA, ACO, and CHAD.
Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone in your community or just taking a deep, calming breath when you need it. Nice. For mental health resources, check out loveyourmindtoday.org. At loveyourmindtoday.org, you'll find information that may help you get through a tough time. Things like tips for dealing with stress, how to navigate difficulties like financial worries, anger, substance use, and more. You can also find real stories of how people navigated their own mental health challenges. Because once you start to address the problem,
another hour with
you can
here
so
on the
much further. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Really interesting this year, and maybe tells us where the
every person is in.